Welcome to Christ Church Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com. My home is not on this
earth, not in this world. So where are we at this point of the story? So as we get to the scripture that I'm going to be reading from, which is Exodus chapter 13 through to the back end of chapter 14, what's happened is the people of God have been held in captivity for about 400 or so years. And after about 400 years, God has heard the cry of his people. And he's set about a chain of events to liberate them from their Egyptian slave masters. And one of the most significant things that he does in this chain of events is to set a leader, establish a man called Moses to become the leader. He was to be the representative of God, but he was also to be the representation of the people. And as this representative of both God and the people, Moses is instructed to go to the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, who's a guy that's previously tried to kill him, and he's to go to them and he's to say, "You have got to let my people go, that they can serve me. You're going to let them go in order that they can serve me." Okay, and so much time has passed, 10 plagues have come, and finally, Pharaoh caves in. He's loosened his grip on the people of God. And as Hannah brought to us last week so brilliantly, okay, when we looked at the Passover, he says this in Exodus 12:31. This is Pharaoh, finally, after everything's happened, he says, "Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said." So where we are in the story right now is that the Israelites, and I'll use the phrase Israelites, even though we know that there's a few Egyptians that are in the midst of this this group, but the text keeps using the word Israelites, so I'll keep referring to that. But we know at this point, the Israelites, the people of God have been declared legally free. At this point, they've been declared legally free. They're free to go, but they're not quite living free. They're legally free, but they're not quite living free. Okay, and so when I was saying that, there's this phrase that came to my mind. Have you ever heard the phrase, "I'm going out"? Yeah? I'm going out, okay? There's a difference between saying "I'm going out" and "I'm going out", all right? And all the party goers know exactly what I mean by that, okay? You're out, it's like you're living like "I'm out". Yeah, I'm away from home, I'm away from all the stuff I've got to do. I'm out, I'm enjoying myself, I'm having a really good time. There's a difference between being out and out. Okay, and so this morning we're going to look at what does it mean to be freed but free. All right, free but free. And so we're going to pick up a few observations that I've made as I've gone through this text. But first, what I wanted to do is I wanted to do something a little bit different. Do you know, this is the third, in the last three times I've spoke here, Andy has disappeared. I don't know if that's coincidence or something, but I said, you know, so I knew Andy wasn't going to be here. And so I met with Sam this week and I said to him, you know, "Andy's not here this Sunday." I said, "I'm thinking about doing something a little bit different." And you could just see the fear in Sam's eyes. Like the colour was just draining from his face. "We're going to get flags in here, ribbons, going to be a smoke machine, it's going to be amazing." But we're not going to do any of that. What I want to do is I want to do a bit of an ancient tradition that we have been doing a lot here in this community, but I'm going to read the entire scripture. Okay? I'm going to read the entire scripture. We're going to read from Exodus 13, chapter 17, all the way through chapter 13, all the way through chapter 14. Okay, but I don't want to, because the thing is I agree, I really believe that I agree with the author of Hebrews, and I believe this with all my heart, that the word of God is living and active. The scripture is living and active. and that it speaks far more powerfully, far more majestically, more beautifully, more sensitively. It speaks far more discerningly than I or anyone else ever could. And so I want us to hear Scripture this morning. Okay, and as we hear it, I'm just going to pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to us. There'll be things that we see and hear in this text that I'm not going to cover, but the Holy Spirit is going to prompt things in us. He's going to bring to mind things. He's going to emerge stuff in us as we read this Scripture. So if you have your Bible, can you turn to Exodus chapter 13? If you don't have a Bible in a book form, turn to it on your iPhone, your Samsung, whatever, tablet. And if you don't have any of those, I've tried my best to get it up here on the screen. Okay, it's a bit bigger than Hannah's was last week, if you remember that. So we got on the screen. David's going to do amazing for me at the back there to keep us flowing through. All right, so let me just pray. Father, would you come? Would you come in power? Holy Spirit, help me speak clearly with confidence and humility. Father, speak to us today through your word. You do something for the great glory of your name and the blessing of your people as we study your word, as we look at your word. Help us, Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, chapter 13, verse 17. Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Chapter 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi Heroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honour over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made his chariot and took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi Haroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And so they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than it would be to die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honour over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, that I have gained honour for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. He took off their chariot wheels, he dislodged them, so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. I need a drink of water. That's an amazing passage of scripture. There's some things in there that we've heard before, seen before, been taught on before. But I was just so stirred to just bring all of it in its entirety. And I just pray that that may have landed in a few areas of, a few fields of faith in you guys. Okay, we're going to look at a few observations from this text. Some of them I'm just going to bash through. Some of them I'm going to camp out in a little bit. But there's going to be one major theme, one major observation at the end that I want us to look at, which tackles this this idea of how do we live free? How do we live free? Okay, so the first one we can find in right at the very start. Just so you're aware, I'm not going to go through every single bit of scripture that we just went through. We'd be here for 4 weeks. But how do we live free? Okay, I just found this so powerful. It starts in this pivotal moment when they've been legally declared free and they're entering into this new life. That it starts, my passage starts with this, with a fulfillment of the promise of God. Okay? Starts in verse 17. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. God keeps his promises. Amen? God keeps his promises. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "He who calls you is faithful. He will do it." He will do it. I just get a sense even now that as we were reading through that scripture, that even now there are people here that are living with promises of God. That you're just living with things that have just not yet come to pass. The Spirit says, all that God promises, all that God says will surely come to pass. And this text just gives us a wonderful reminder of that. It also gives me a reminder as we go further down from the example of Joseph that true prophecy is always true. True prophecy is always true. It says here in verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. Joseph was the guy that brought the Israelites into Egypt. Yeah? And he says 430 years previous to this moment, God is going to visit you, and when he does, you're going to get my bones and you're going to take me with you. He prophesies when God visits you, he's going to come. And so those are the two first observations in terms of how do we live free. We remember that God keeps his promises. He's faithful. Okay? And that true prophecy always comes true. There are many of us in here who are living with the prophetic over us. There have been prophetic words that have been given to us to encourage us, to uplift us, to pour courage into us. And some of them might not have been fully fulfilled yet. There are certainly some in my life, but true prophecy always comes true. So that's the first way that we live free, is that we remember God keeps his promises. The second way that we can live free is in the next slide. On here, this bit of in verse 17 and verse 18. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Now, to understand that, it's better to have a map. To understand this point, I'm going to say next. So if we could just pull up the map, this is the route that the people of Israel would have taken out of Egypt. So here on the top left, they would have come out of here. And they're heading here to the top right. That's where we're heading. And so when you look at that, and they would have known this land, it's like, which is the quickest way to get there? Which is the quickest way to get to the promised land? Just right here, across the Great Sea. But God knows that that way isn't the best way. See, in our minds and in our world, we always want to take the quick way. Okay, I'm so guilty of this. I see Colin's nodding his head like it's about to drop off his shoulders, because I'm the same way. I want to get started. I want to get going. I want to move quickly. I want to just start getting things. Sometimes the quick way isn't the best way. Yeah, his ways are not our ways. Okay, and so God, he demonstrates something. We can go back to the previous slide. He demonstrates something by taking the people of God the long way round. Do you know what he's doing? It's such a wonderful example of his grace and kindness and love towards the people of God, that he doesn't allow them to go by the way where the Philistines, where there was war, where they would turn back and head to Egypt. And so I tried to summarize it. Don't despise the detours of God. If there's a promise that you're going to get to this point, yeah? We always want the promise to just come like an ATM machine. We just stick the card in. Here's our faith card. Out comes the promise. Yeah? That's not the way it works. Don't despise the detours of God. So the second way that we can live free is to trust God in the journey, not despising the long routes that he might take us on. Yeah, it took Lucy and I quite a long time to get Naomi. Yeah, it took a long time for that promise to be fulfilled. We were promised her. We lived with it. And every miscarriage and every struggle and every time it just seemed like it wasn't going to come through. We just wanted to do this quickly. Just get it done. Come on. You promised it. Where is it? God did something in us in the long journey. Third way that we can live free, okay? This part of the passage in chapter 13, 21 to 22, just tells us about the guidance of God in our lives, okay? And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by a night in a pillar of fire to give them light, okay? The people of God, as they emerged out of Egypt, Yeah, God graciously gave them these things. He gave them a cloud, and he gave them a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. And the purpose was to illuminate the presence of God. Okay? The purpose was to illuminate the presence of God. And so, whenever the pillar of cloud moved, the people of God moved. If it moved to the left, they would go to the left. If it moved to the right, they would go to the right. If it moved south, they would go south. And if it didn't move at all, they would stay put. Later in Numbers, it talks about this. Okay? In Numbers 9, 15 to 23, it talks about the cloud and the fire. And it says that, this is a summarization of it. It says, whilst in the wilderness, the people of God had no way of knowing whether they would camp out for a few days or for a few years at any one particular point or location. They relied so heavily on the illumination of the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They relied on it so heavily that if either of them stopped, they stopped. If either of them moved, no matter what time or situation they were in, they could have been feeding the cows, they could have been feeding the kids, they could have been doing anything. But if it moved, they moved. They had to remain flexible. They had to sleep with their boots on. Okay, sleeping with your boots on, it's like this military picture that, you know, you go to bed with your boots on because at any moment you can get called into action. Okay, but the people of God were to sleep with their boots on. And I believe that, you know, when we're free, the world says that we're free, we put our slippers on, we put our feet up. It's time to relax, kick back, pina coladas, baby. Looking at you. It's not about slippers, it's about army boots. Yeah? Actually says that as the Israelites left Egypt, they were clothed for war. They weren't clothed for a picnic, they were clothed for war. Okay, and so the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire illuminate the presence of God. And they're so depended upon by the people of God for navigation into the unknown. Now, I would love when I'm making a decision for a pillar of cloud to just puff up like an e-vape cigarette. Or fire from one of them bursting into flames. I love it to just pop up like, what should I do here in this situation? And then there's a cloud of smoke. I just wander over to it. That's what I'm going to do. We don't have that. We have something better than cloud and fire. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got the Holy Spirit who guides us and navigates us through the wilderness of life. He illuminates the way. He illuminates Jesus. Where's Jesus? I've got to make this decision at work. Where should I go? Where's Jesus in this? Holy Spirit, help me see Christ. Where do you want me to be? He's the illumination for us. We've got to embrace, if we're going to live free, we've got to embrace the illumination of the Holy Spirit in our lives as he navigates us through the wilderness. Okay? I said I was going to smash through these, but it's not really happening. But we're going to get on to the next one. I'm going to touch on this really quickly. Chapter 14, verses 8 to 10. When the Israelites left Egypt, it says they left with boldness. Yeah, this flows from what I've just said. Yeah, there was a pillar of cloud, there was a pillar of fire. The presence of God was very, very tangible. As they left with boldness. But as opposition and as potential death, as fear, as obstruction started to come back into their gaze, they lifted their eyes and fear emerged. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses, chariots of Pharaoh, the horsemen, the army, overtook them camping by the sea, beside Phi Haroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so they were very afraid. If we want to live free, if we want to live in biblical boldness, we've got to keep our eyes on the presence of God. We have to keep our eyes on the presence of God. That's where biblical boldness comes from. Okay, and fear emerges is when we take our eyes, when we take our eyes off the presence of God and we start to fixate on other things. We start to look to other things. other than the presence of God. And the Israelites are looking at this Egyptian army and it's oncoming, and it's huge. And they can hear this. This isn't just like, you know, a couple of lads from, you know, Gorton coming round after a few cans. You know, this is the most powerful army that they have ever known, that across this known world. This is the most powerful army, and they're coming after them. Okay, so yeah, but they're called to keep themselves fixated on the presence of God. And as they do that, boldness emerges. And the moment they turn their gaze, fear emerges. And so one of the ways that we can live free is to just constantly be fixated on the presence of God. We're called to do that in Hebrews. Yeah, we run this race with endurance as we lay aside every weight that hinders and sin that ensnares, as we look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We're to look to Jesus. We're to look at the things unseen through the lenses of faith. So that's how we get biblical boldness. Next one. How do we live free? We okay? We all right, everyone? Yeah? One of you is. Oh, brilliant. Okay. 13 to 14. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Do you know, I love this. I camped out in this for a good couple of weeks. Yeah, this is brilliant. Because what this tells me is that now we've been given a new fighting technique. We've been given a new fighting technique. We've been given a new fighting technique that when confronted by an enemy or when in front of an impassable situation, we've been given the technique of standing still in faith. I don't know if you've ever got into a confrontation with anybody, or if you've ever got to a real insurmountable situation. But if you've ever been put in a situation where you're confronted by someone, there's two natural instincts that come out. Yeah? You either engage, which is to fight, or you depart, which is to flee. You either engage in the confrontation or you flee from it. And here, we're being instructed by Moses, and I think it's critical, it's Moses that's saying this. You're not to fight, you're not to flee, you're to stand still in faith. Moses is calling the people to stand still in faith. Standing still in faith recognizes that someone else does the fighting for you. This is exactly what Moses is saying to the people, that someone is going to fight on your behalf, and not just anybody, but God himself will fight for you. And that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. He fought Satan, sin, and death in order to save his people from their sins. That was the whole point of Jesus coming. The whole point of Jesus coming is that he would save his people from their sins. And Paul writes in Colossians that Jesus, on the cross, disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, and he triumphed over them in it. Jesus has done the fighting for us. Because of this, we're now not clothed in some human battle gear like the Egyptians were when they left Egypt. We're now clothed in him and his righteousness. That's what Paul means when he talks about putting on the whole armour of God. I'm not going to read it all, but at the end it says, "Therefore we take on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Put on the armour of God so that we can stand in faith. David encourages us further, Psalm 46. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And I think it's brilliant. It's as if someone wrote this book, you know. I think it's brilliant that Moses is the one saying this. Because if you remember Moses earlier as we studied Exodus, Moses, when confronted with opposition by an Egyptian man, engaged by fighting. He fought and he murdered an Egyptian. And then when further opposition came, yeah, people said, "Hey, we saw you do this." And Pharaoh wanted to kill him, he engaged by departing. He fled. So Moses has fought. That hasn't worked. Moses has fled. That ain't worked. And here he is calling the people of God to stand firm in faith. I just think that is an amazing, for me, that's just such an encouragement. What a transformation of Moses. Yeah? John Maxwell, a Christian business leader, he says this: maturity is a process, not an event. Maturity is a process, not an event. Just like there's a difference between a wedding and a marriage. A wedding is an event, a marriage is a process. Okay, maturity is a process, not an event. We're going to skip over the next one. So if we can hit the next one and then skip through that. But just to say that we are a people of advancement. The call of Moses, while standing firm in faith, is actually not to sit there on the sidelines, but to go forward. Yeah, we're a people of advancement. We're here, we're coming towards the end of this now. So chapter 14, verses 21 to 23. How do we live free? Well, we live in perspective. This talks to me about perspective. Dry land emerges, represents our temporary residence here on earth. Dry land in Genesis, in the first chapter of Genesis, chapter 1, 9 through 10, talks about dry land emerging. It calls it earth. Okay, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, that the waters were divided. This path, this dry land, it was only present for a little while. It was only a temporary residence for the people of God as they were walking through it and on it. It was a temporary residence for them. And just like the temporary residence, everything that was inside it was going to disappear. And we see later that the waters come back. So it's only present for a little while. Just like the dry land and all within it, it will soon pass away. So too this dry land that we walk on will soon pass away. 1 John 2 verses 15 to 17 says, do not love the world. Don't love the world or the things in the world. The lust, its pride, all that. Don't love it. It's all passing away. It's all passing away. Okay, but just notice as the Israelites are walking on dry ground, the threats remain. Gosh, wouldn't we love it if God just eliminated all the threats on this earth? We could just, one day he will. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. There'll be no threat of death. Okay, he promises that that will happen. But look, the water remains. The enemies of God, the opposition, are still there. The threats of life haven't disappeared. They've not been totally moved. And that's just true of our lives. We know that. Yeah, as we walk through life, if we go to our workplaces, as we're doing the things that we're doing, we're threatened. Yeah, it's a picture of what we're experiencing right now. So as we're walking through this life, as we're living free, we're standing firm in faith, knowing that Jesus is doing the fighting for us, knowing that God has done the fighting for us. But we're to be walking by faith too, okay? Because we're not to walk by sight. Walk by sight, fear emerges, but we walk by faith, okay? Boldness emerges. I'm zipping through these last two because I really want to get to the final point. But if we can hit the next one, I'm not going to read through it. I'm just going to just highlight the bits that are in yellow. Verses 24 to 30. Again, now it came to pass. Moses was instructed to do something. We were obedient into it. Now it came to pass. Okay. Did you know it? I don't know if it bothered you. Probably bothered you a lot in some of the stuff I was saying. But what was bothering me through the text is how many times I just had to keep reading Pharaoh and his chariots and his army and his horsemen and this. Like, it must have said it about six times. And I just thought, why is that? Why can't you just say Pharaoh and his army? Why is the scripture just making such a point about how big and how powerful and how incredible this opposition is? And verses 24 to 30 talk about that. If we hit the next slide. If we're to live free, we need to remember that even the mightiest most well-equipped, most powerful enemy is no match for God. Job writes, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Do you know that it can, for 20 euros, you can visit the site of one of the world's most impressive and powerful kingdoms. 20 euros. Hit the next slide. That's what it looks like. One of the most powerful, one of the most majestic kingdoms that's ever existed on earth, you can access for 20 euros. And this is what it looks like. It lays in ruins. This has got to be encouraging for us today. In a culture where there are so many little kingdoms emerging, faster than we can ever count, one day, God says, only the kingdom of God will remain. We have to keep that in perspective if we're to live free when faced by the challenges of this life. Isaiah writes, all flesh is grass and its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord has blown upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. We're at our final point. Thank you so much for being patient with me as we go through this. I know it's a little bit long. Just tell Andy not to give me long pieces of scripture. Thank you for being with us on this. So, final point, okay? Final point, verse 31. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. The purpose of Exodus, the point of Exodus, was not for Israel to find deliverance from serving the old master. That wasn't the point. The point and the purpose of Exodus was that Israel would find delight in serving the new master. Right back in Exodus 3:12 at the burning bush, God says to Moses, this will be a sign for you. This will be a sign for you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on the mountain. The purpose of Exodus is worship. The purpose of Exodus is worship. We hear it all the way through the first 14 verses. That was God's end game with Exodus all along. That by the outstretched arm of God, he would make a way to bring his people out of bondage and slavery and into new life and freedom. And this whole story points to that story. The way that God made a salvation for the his people by parting the sea, Jesus too has made a way for us to have access to the Father, for us to enjoy true freedom. Jesus is still the way. He's still the truth and he's still the life. His life, death and resurrection has made the impossible possible. He has made access to God permanent. He is the one who has delivered us from our bondage and slavery into freedom. No longer we serve the old master, but we get to enjoy the intimacy of serving and worshipping the ultimate master. If you feel like your life is cornered, if you feel like life has got you cornered with death on either side, the Holy Spirit is still in the business of pointing us to the way.